Good afternoon and welcome. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5 Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. Simulcast on IndianaFreedomTalkRadio.com, the Grow Your Own Channel, 107.5 FM, Greenville, South Carolina, the Jalapeno Channel, 87.9 FM, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and numerous other micro broadcasts and webcasts across our great nation. Our website is FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. We open the broadcast with Trenches by Pop Evil. It is, well, it's, that's right, it's Weasel Wednesday. It's the 14th day of June, 2017. It's 12:04 Pacific Time, and I'm your host, Henry Shively. This is a live call-in program, and listeners are encouraged to join in the conversation. If you'd like to call in, the number is 641-715-3610. A nice lady will come on the line and ask you for the conference room you want, and that would be 220029 and then the pound sign. Again, that's 641-715-3610, and then enter 220029 and hit that pound sign. Of course, you have to punch in *6 to unmute if you want to come up on the air and mix it up with me today. Well, it's currently 61 degrees here, 4,200 feet in the high Cascades of northern Jefferson, and we're looking for a high of 68 degrees today for the climate basin. It's been cold in the mornings. I mean, it's more like fall than late summer. It's going to warm up. I mean, it's going to get up to 80 by next Tuesday, but that's not helping me none today. Anyway, what's going on here? Let's see what we have on the itinerary. James T. Hodgkinson, Illinois man identified as suspected gunman in Virginia shooting. And we're going to get into this as soon as we return from our messages from our most outstanding sponsors. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT.
A changing scene, 'cause every night I have the strangest dreams. Imprisoned by the way things used to be, yeah. Left here on my own, or so it seems. I got to leave before I start to scream. 'Cause somebody locked the door and took the key.
Feeling all right, I'm not feeling too good myself. Feeling all right,
I'm not feeling too good myself. Hey, old Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disastrous situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Bringing you the word from the trenches, please give a big round of applause for Henry Shively.
Alrighty then, if you've been looking at the stupid box any today, you've certainly seen James T. Hodgkinson, the shooter there in Virginia. And I mean, what a big to-do. I guess when a communist shoots one of the aristocracy of the Masonic Dirty Church, and man, it's very important. I mean, I've heard the congressman come up, and I've been listening to him all day. You know, this, the violence is never an answer. But if they could get the 75% they don't control to join those two sides and kill, if we'd go out there and kill one another, boy, it would just suit them right down to the ground. And like I said, you know, this has been nonstop coverage since it occurred. And this, it shows to go you how, what's really going on in this country and how the people are looked upon as opposed to those who serve us. You know, are the people who work for us. Now, Kelly Thomas, when the man, that murder of him that they caught on video. Now, I think that that should have dominated the news for a couple of days, and it should have been made sure that those terrorists who did that to him should have been executed. I mean, they should have got the needle. But no, when, you know, that violence that they just cannot stand and they deplore it, I mean, it's heaped on us every day. You know, you got Barry Sanders up there because evidently this guy worked on his campaign. Well, let's get into it a little bit. A 66-year-old Illinois man has been identified as the suspect in the shooting of a congressional baseball practice Wednesday, and that really struck me. When this started unfolding this morning. The baseball? We got a session. Is Congress in session? Are they playing baseball? Oh, it's for a charity, so it's all right. I have to wonder what this costs the taxpayers for this baseball league they seem to have there in Congress when they don't. I mean, do you think about the actual days these people are supposed to work? And then in the meantime, well, let's have a little baseball league while we're at it. James T. Hodgkinson allegedly opened fire at the field in Alexandria, Virginia. Several law enforcement sources told NBC News. More than a dozen GOP lawmakers were there with their staffs, and there's like 30 of them. And they were there with their staffs again playing baseball. And what, like I said again here, this what, so the communists are shooting the Masonic Dirty Church cabal aristocracy, and boy, I mean, you can see it. I mean, this cannot be. But we cannot allow this cannot be in this country, people. I mean, they can go around killing our people for a taillight out. You know, they were in there in Congress to standing ovation for the Capitol Police. I remember them doing a standing ovation not so long ago, maybe a year or so ago, when they killed Marion Curie with her little one-year-old baby in the back seat, in a car seat. I just walked up and executed her with an AR-15. You know, something happens to one of these aristocrats, oh my goodness, it's such a terrible, terrible thing. But when they blow one of our people away, like this woman, a confused woman just got, you know, people just started coming at her from every angle. All she was trying to do is get away from it. Crashes into a garbage can. They just walk up and boom, execute her because they're the Capitol Police. And another thing I seen today when they're coming out with their news conference, I saw this police state solidly united from the federal level right down to the local municipality. One force, one standing army. Again, you know, what makes them so goddamn special, I guess, is really what's eating at me here today. Our people are killed needlessly by their thugs every frickin' day, and it's just, well, he was scared. Maybe this guy was scared. Maybe this, what's his name, James T. Hodgkin, maybe he was scared. And, you know, you're hearing a lot of people come out, and, I mean, Mark was covering this on the Morning Intelligence Report. And, you know, he started covering it. It was just really breaking right then. And, it came down, they were talking about the fact that this guy walked up, I mean, this communist walked up and said, asked if the players on the baseball field there that were playing baseball instead of working, if they were Republicans or Democrats. And when they said they were Republicans, he came back and shot. Mark's words were, they're coming at us now. I'm not a Republican. I'm not a part of the Masonic Dirty Church cabal. Coming at us now? Really? They're all traitors. They all deserve, I mean, they all need to be tried and executed. They have committed high treason against we the people. Some of us out here are even suffering from it, believe it or not. But no, man, I mean, it's surprising what things will do to people. Just the smallest little, I mean, what color was the guy right away? It don't matter what color he was a communist. Man, we have to have this war about anything, people, other than that Bill of Rights, because, man, if the Bill of Rights got put in place, man, there would be nobody better than anybody else. And there's just some people that have to be better than everybody else, don't? I mean, they are. Just look at them, and they'll tell you they are. Don't they know? The shooter then got into a gunfight with police and was shot, officials said. The attacker later died. President Donald Trump said the president, this is from NBC, so I want to read this the way it came out so you know that it's not me. This is the, it says, the attacker later, comma, President Donald Trump said, period. The president paid tribute to the Capitol Police officers who likely saved lives in the face of a brutal assault. And again, these are the same Capitol Police that murdered Miriam Carey, and nothing was ever done. It was just tufted. And they stood up in Congress and applauded that woman being shot to death in front of her child. It was a good thing because they were, I mean, this is really what it's coming down to, is they know that it's coming to the point. I mean, this guy here, of course, it was a communist, but it's coming to the point to where, you know, they can't just walk around the streets and keep committing their treason and everybody else living in a hell while they, you know, live in luxury. I heard one of the reporters this morning said, these guys, they don't make a whole lot of money, guys. They go to Washington, D.C. to help, to serve, don't you know? To help us and serve us because, man, they're good people. They go to Washington, D.C. to steal. They go to Washington, D.C. to be a part of their cliques. The salaries, damn, I'd like to have a $250,000 a year salary, but that's just, you know, they don't go there for the money, and that ain't even really money to them. You see what I'm saying, people? How much would that be to you? But, you know, and once they have, you know, done their dirty deeds within the system, as soon as they get out, they go right to work for the corporations, the international corporations, by the way, the dirty international treasonous bastards. They go right to work for the corporations, and then, you know, they'll lobby for them because they were just now supposedly in a position of public trust. That's a laughable term, in my opinion. Oh, man. So, let's go into this a little further. This makes me irate. I mean, the fanfare over it. I mean, I don't really give a shit about this guy, these people who got shot. They are the scum of the earth. They are our oppressors. They are the occupation. Or am I missing something here? We'll all agree we're occupied, but it ain't them guys. It's some Democrats that are occupying this. I mean, playing right into the left-right paradigm, man. Playing into the game. We've said it before, the idea here is to get us to go into one of those camps, neither which intends to afford us any rights except for the right to a bullet in our head. And then, you know, something like this, well, we could take this sadness. And, I mean, sometimes I feel like just walking away from this. I'll be honest with you people. I'm telling you right now. How in the hell are we ever going to get to where we need to? I mean, we are so far out of kilter with what this country's supposed to be, that it should be a total rejection of every aspect of it. It across the board, it's an occupation. It's criminal. But no, man, if you can see a way, well, maybe we can blame that on a nigger. Now, if they'll blame it on a nigger, now I'll go with them on this one, okay? That's what I see. They want theocracies. They want white fascist dictatorships or something. I don't know. They sure as hell don't want the Bill of Rights. They couldn't. Otherwise, they couldn't go along with this shit to any degree. U.S. Senator Bernie Sanders said in a statement he'd been told the shooter had apparently volunteered on his 2016 presidential campaign. Yeah, the guy's a communist, okay? He's a communist. He's a communist activist, I guess. I guess he got real activated today. But, they never explain. The questions I'm not seeing answered here is, this guy lived in Illinois. Now, they were showing a list of the trouble this guy'd been in, and right back to just March. I can't remember exactly what the date was, but just recently. He was called in for shooting his gun there in that area. I mean, this guy, who are these people who can live in Illinois? They're supposed to be regular working people. Could you do it? Who live in Illinois and that, you know, happen to be down there at Washington, D.C. and just, you know, happen to be right there in that block where this, where evidently our Congress plays baseball, and then walked over and seen, well, it's a Republican. Well, I guess I'll go home and get the gun and light a few of them up. I mean, what? It's like these international terrorists. You know, they talk about the ISIS, you know, the terrible ISIS and all these people, and they'll latch on to one of them, you know, and they'll say, yeah, he was in England for 2 months in, this year, and then the next year he was in Germany for 2 years, and the next year he was over in the Philippines for 2 years, and the next year, and you're sitting there, I can't get to goddamn town and back. I can't afford gas to go anywhere. How are these people affording airplane tickets, motels, all of this? You think somebody might be financing this shit? Because I do. And I got a pretty good idea who. It would be those people who have lost control of the 75% and want us to kill one another, who are working desperately. I mean, and desperate is the word, because they took some lead today. And in that Congress, I'm telling you, those guys know that if there was law in this country, every goddamn one of them would be convicted of treason, and they would be subject to be put against the wall or hung. And that's just the facts of it. That's why something like this just, well, man, you wait till you see what's going to come out of this. I already seen, calls for heightened security at town hall meetings because the people's out there are getting restless. They've got out the pitchforks, I don't want to associate with this guy. I mean, he's a goddamn communist, but I don't want to associate with the other side of it either, because they're goddamn, Masonic dirty church cabal. The Masonic dirty church cabal is the aristocracy that has been their position that they could rule our people since the inception of this country, because they sat on their asses and made tons of money off the Revolutionary War and came out the other side rich, and hey, whole country should be theirs. I'm sickened by this despicable act, Senator Sanders said, and that's what was really getting me. You know, they slaughter our people every day, and more heinous acts than this. I mean, old ladies and little children throwing flashbangs in their crib with them. I mean, that's not despicable. That ain't worthy of stopping the presses and holding the news. But man, something happens to one of these elitists. This will not be tolerated, because hey, this is their country, don't you know? Sickened by this despicable act, Sanders said. Oh, man. In a statement, he'd been told the shooter had apparently volunteered for his 2016 presidential campaign. I'm sickened by this despicable act, Sanders said. Let's be as clear as I can be. Violence of any kind. Now listen to what this son of a bitch is saying and think about what they're doing to us out on the streets. Violence of any kind is unacceptable in our society. I condemn this action in the strongest possible terms, and all I could think of when I heard him saying it was Kelly Thomas, I could think of James Boyd, I was thinking of Marion Curie, because it was the Capitol Police that murdered her. I was thinking of Eric Gardner. I was thinking of Cameron Rice. I was thinking of all the people that I've seen just in the last year or so, just shit wasted. And well, hey, you know, that was like that, oh man, I wish I could think of the guy's name, that was just the one where the woman, a cop, was acquitted when she just gunned that guy down with his hands up in the air. Just boom, 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 just shot him down.
Lloyd Finnegan.
There you go. All right, well, how about Lavoy Finnegan? Exactly. Lavoy, I didn't mean Lavoy, but by jingle, you're right. Let's talk about Lavoy Finnegan. You talk about, that was an American national. He's the one that you peons are supposed to be working for. But hey, you know what? Man, he wasn't going along with your communism. He wasn't going along with the Masonic dirty church cabal. He wasn't going along with it. He actually thought he had rights. So he was gunned down on the side of the road out there in Burns, Oregon. I'm glad you brought that up, because that one slipped my mind. I should have thought of that. Because you talk about a political murder. Now there was a political murder, people. And that's what they're talking about, you know, with this shooter here. It was a political, you know, assassination, I guess you'd call it. But again, what was Lavoy Finnegan? Because everybody was acquitted. Don't forget that. Lavoy Finnegan had done nothing. He had broken no law, and he was executed on the side of a public road. But that's not an outrage. That wasn't despicable. That wasn't what Bernie Sanders was talking about when he said violence of any kind is unacceptable in our society. The law enforcement official said the shooter was heard asking, are these the Republicans or the Democrats? You got it. Which side are you on? Which side are you going to go die for? Which you 75% her are nothing more than dirt beneath. They don't even consider you in any equation. But which bunch are you going to go die for? Because you got to get in one of those camps, because you can't have a good war without two camps of killing one another, can you? Divide and conquer. That's the only way this nation could ever be taken, is divide and conquer. And man, it was tough to divide. They even had to pump people in from other nations, I mean by the millions, to even get the wedge started in between people. But boy, I see it. I mean, I see people falling for it. And I see people that you know, have seemed to be out in front and, you know, completely understanding and rational about the whole situation, falling back into institutionalized positions. How in the hell could you say one good? How could you say anything but good? A communist killed a Masonic Dirty Church aristocrat today? Killed one? Shot one anyway? Good! I wish they'd all shoot each other. I wish they'd shoot each other down to a man. And then we could kill the last man and be done with this shit. They are nothing to me, neither side of it. That's what's getting me. I mean, everybody admit the dirty George Herbert Walker Bush, the dirty deeds that bastard did, followed, I mean, preceded by Bill, what is Clinton, the dirty deeds he did, the dirty deeds every damn one of them's done. But they'll go back to that Reagan, man, and even today. I mean, I this is one thing I think has really pissed him off a lot about me, because I won't let him. Reagan, hallowed be his name, his kingdom come. Oh, you mean that drug, international gun and drug runner? Busted clean, didn't go to jail? But no, one, it's one of our, he was doing it for a good reason, for white, it was for white, that's what it was for. No, he was doing it because he's an international goddamn criminal, just like the rest of them. But it blows me away. People, well, you know, it was a Republican this time. What? A Republican? I thought we already talked this over. I thought that we had come to the conclusion that there are no Democrats. There are no Republicans. There are no conservatives. There are no liberals. There is just the law or there is not. And right now there is not. And how in the hell could you ever try to piece? I'll take this little piece over here and call it good because it's good for me. We talked about this the other day. The fact that, you know, people saying that, you know, Trump, well, there's some of the things, if can we back him on the good things he does? Good for who? Good for you? If something's good for you while I'm living under tyranny, oh, that's all right for you to back the regime that is occupying the country and putting me under tyranny because he did something good for you? And that we talked about over in France, the people who cooperated with the occupation there. It was good for them. Some of them things that them Germans did there was good for them. They ate good while the rest of their people starved. They drank champagne while the rest of their people drank dirty water. They slept good in their beds while the rest of their people crawled down, around in ditches in the underground and fought the war against the occupation. But it was good for them. So that must make it okay. I mean, while I'm on the bitch about it, I mean, this morning listening, as I said, I told you I was going to monitor them so-called common law folks over there at the micro effect. And I mean, this guy, he was flat laying it out today, you know. The thing is, religion, when they, let's get it here, because we've been talking about our Bill of Rights. Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of a religion. Do people know that religion only means Christian? And religion means different denominations of Christians. I'm going to tell you what, you freak. You boneheaded freak. If there are 7% fanatics that go along with the things you're saying, I'll eat my hat. You are never going to inflict your interpretations of a book upon anybody in this country. And what that first article means is there is no church state and there is no state church, period. That's the English language. I know it just really twists their ass. And this is why they can't get behind us, people. It is that first clause. No, this was a Christian nation. Yeah, there was. It was majority Christian. Right now today, you go out and you ask the people out there, a majority will tell you, yep, Christian. They'll identify as Christians. But you better realize that when you start talking about, Christianity, that's the only religion that's going to be allowed. that number drops dramatically and quickly the other way. The whole idea, most people that identify with Christianity is, you know, treating other people good, not telling other people how to live, which is what Joseph Rory, that's what he, I mean, you should, I mean, the archives cost you over at the Micro Effect, so I can't tell you to go listen to it, but man, I'm telling you, what a crock of dewey. What a piece of shit. You know what, Rory? What you need to do is puff up, buddy, because you're going to have to back what you're saying, you see? You don't just get to say it. I know that's what you think. If you say it because, you know, and God's for you, and so he's going to make everybody do what you want. Well, you got another thing coming. We've lived under tyranny long enough. We're not going to live under another brand of tyranny consisting of the interpretations of a retard like you. I mean, this guy in the same conversation, he was, I think it may have been yesterday, but he was talking about, I can't remember, his politician or the courts or something, and he's talking about books, and he goes, those books are, they're not testimony, they can't be, you know, used in law. I mean, it's just the same thing. Well, neither is that Bible. I'm sorry. A lot of good things have come from it, but I've seen a lot of bad things too. Like you. Who would tell your fellow man how he's going to live because you know better. I mean, I listen to you, you sound like a freaking retard to me. I mean, dim-witted retard. And you're going to tell me how to live? That will be the day. It's not going to happen. Don't even think it. Give it up. Anyways, we're down at the bottom of the hour. We're going to take our bottom of the hour break. We'll be back in about 8 minutes. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT.
Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disaster situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Divergent Flavor Labs introduces our all-original E-Juice flavor line made from pure 100% kosher USP food-grade ingredients. Whether it's our flavored tobaccos like Calypso or our amazing bakery flavors like Crumbiliumptious, Divergent Flavor Labs' handmade all-original flavor line will never disappoint. Available exclusively through VaporsRebellion.com.
Yeah. too dark to see. Feel I'm knocking on heaven's door. Knock, knock, 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 knocking on heaven's door. Mama put my guns in the ground. I can't shoot them anymore. That long black cloud is coming down. I feel like I'm knocking on heaven's door. Knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door. Knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door. Knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door. Yeah, yeah. Knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door.
Listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5 Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. The Word from the Trenches is a listener-sponsored broadcast. If you'd like to help keep this programming on the air, go to FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com and hit that donate button. Or you can mail donations to Henry Shively at Post Office Box 964, Chiloquin, Oregon, 97624. Your contributions are appreciated. I'm your host, Henry Shively. It is 1236 Pacific Time. That was Avril Lavigne with, I can't never say that girl's name right, Knocking on Heaven's Door, which is just about how we feel come Wednesday around here. Now, let's take another look. I mean, we're being told, oh, man, the aristocracy was harmed today. Somebody tried to hurt the aristocracy, tried to hurt our overlords, and we're all supposed to be just madder than hell and ready to give up any kind of freedom to protect them. Let's see what they're doing for us today. And this is one I've wanted to hit for a couple of days, but we've been had other things going. Sessions wrote to Congress asking permission to go after medical marijuana. This is from ARS Technicia. Sent in by Misty for discussion. I'm from the trenches, worldreport.com, in a letter dated May 1st of this year. Attorney General Jeff Sessions personally wrote to congressional leaders urging them to ditch a provision in spending legislation that bars the Department of Justice from cracking down on state legal medical marijuana. Zero authority. I mean, it's coming, people. They've cut into their drug monies here. You know, let's go on into this. This provision, that provision in appropriations legislation, sometimes referred to as the, Roebucker-Farr Amendment, prohibits the Department of Justice from using any of its funds to prevent states from implementing their own laws that authorize the use of distribution, possession, or cultivation of medical marijuana. As ARS has reported before, this provision was present in the appropriations bill covering fiscal year 2017 and has been around for years. Sessions wants to make sure it's not in appropriations legislation in 2018 because, man, they're coming after the people, man. This Trumpy, a lot of people who went out there and voted for Trumpy. Ooh, let's go. The Obama administration, too, wanted to ditch or at least weaken the provision. Of course they're together on it. You're talking the international drug trade here and cutting into their action. The Obama Justice Department, and not to mention the pharmaceutical industry, our pharmaceutical cabal, don't call them an industry, call them what they are, criminal cabal. The Obama Justice Department tried to interpret the provision as protecting state governments, not necessarily individuals. But last year, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals ruled that the provision does, in fact, protect state legal medical marijuana growers, patients, and dispensaries. In his letter, Sessions says the ruling allows a loophole for dangerous criminals to go unpunished if the provision is maintained. Dangerous criminals, you know, people with cancer and stuff, those dangerous criminals. Alzheimer's, dangerous criminals. Strokes, dangerous criminals. Going further, Sessions argues that because the country is in the midst of an historic drug epidemic and potentially long-term uptick in violent crime, the DOJ, and potentially, yeah, well, hell yeah, it's a potential. They brought it here from Honduras, El Salvador, and Mexico. They brought gang members up here. We told you they were going to do it, remember? We told you there had to be a gun violence epidemic because they tried it, you know, and everybody came out and go, well, gun crimes dropped 40% in the last 15 years. Get some people in here from Honduras. Get some killers in here. We need an epidemic and potentially long-term uptick in violence. The DOJ must be in a position to use all laws available to combat transitional drug organizations and dangerous drug traffickers who threaten American lives, the cancer patients. I mean, this is who they're going after, people. These dirty rat bastards. This son of a bitch Sessions, you look at that arrogant little bastard. That dirty little elitist prick. That little scumbag. The arrogance of them. I looked at this and I've decided. No worse than what I was talking about earlier with Mr. Rory. No difference in it. Just this is how I'm the overlord and this is how you shall live. You want to bet? As the Post notes, Sessions appears to be deliberately conflicting medical marijuana use with the opioid epidemic, and there is an opioid epidemic. Man, how did that opioid epidemic come to be, people? Oh, that's right. We invaded Afghanistan. We sent soldiers over there because the Taliban had cut the opium production down in Afghanistan down to about 1%. They were hanging people for it. But we went over there and we got that opium growing, bumper crops first. Well, we'd been there about, 12, 13 years. Bumper crops, people. And, you know, they grow the opium over there. They harvest the opium. Then they put them on CIA transport planes. And they fly it to to South America, where it's processed into heroin. And then it's brought up through Mexico and across our borders by the criminal drug cabal run out of the White House. And then now we have an epidemic. So let's go after them bastards that's using marijuana to cure cancer. Let's get them. That's what we need to do because it's hurting our pharmaceutical industry and it's hurting our legal drug trade. You think there would be any, I said it yesterday, you think that there'd be any less drugs tomorrow if they came and they raided all of the dispensaries here in Oregon, Colorado, California, all the places that medical marijuana, hell, there's like 23 states now. Do you think there'd be any less tomorrow? Or would it be more expensive and you'd have to get it through the black market they run? Which would it be? Not to mention, Trump did say he was there to support industry, and there it is, a $40 billion industry, this phony-ass drug war, where we finance both sides of it, and no matter what happens, we're going to lose. How about that? I mean, you talk about a righteous war. Not to mention, they've never had any authority, and in fact, we could go a million miles on that, but they have no authority to tell any American national what they can or cannot put in their body, what they can or cannot grow out in their damn yard and consume. They just can't do it. They've never had the authority. And this is just a furtherness of the dictatorship, the police state run under the National Defense Authorization Act and the War Powers Act and the Patriot Act, you know, Patriotic Patriot Act. This is the outrage. This is the arrogance. This is the aristocracy looking down their noses on us and saying, I don't want my cattle ingesting that weed. Whip the cattle back. Get the prods out, man. Let's straighten this out. We no more of this. We decide what goes into our property. You little bastard Sessions, man, I'm telling you, it's coming. I mean, you keep on pushing because people are realizing what. And, well, let's get down here to the last because the last little bit's really not good on this article. Okay, we were opioid epidemic with its historic and devastation, which is historic and devastating and created by you and your ilk. You did it. I mean, this is the outrageousness of it. You pump it in here from Afghanistan and, oh, we have an epidemic we created. Now we got to take something. We got to go take that medical marijuana out of play so that our illegal drugs are worth money again. And the pharmaceuticals, well, they're cancer drugs, the only thing that's available. So you just take them and die. However, research suggests that medical marijuana availability actually decreases opioid overdoses and deaths. Well, of course it does, but that doesn't matter. You're looking at it the wrong way there, researcher. The thing is, it's not about decreases in opioid overdoses and death. It's about increases in profits for the black market drugs that are peddled in this country and the pharmaceutical drugs that are forced on our people. Sessions goes on to provide a laundry list of potential risk of marijuana use, including, why don't you get out, why don't you be the new actor in Reefer Madness, you slimy little prick. Yeah, but you better realize that everybody out here can see you for the slimy little prick that you are. They can look right at you and see what you're, they know you're a piece of shit because they know better. It's at the point that everybody knows better. So go ahead and try it, you little prick. In an email to the Post, John Hudak of the Brookings Institution characterized the letter's arguments as scare tactic. Oh, and see, we're going to argue, but this is, here we go again. This is going to be our, it's a scare tactic and marijuana is really, it's good for you. No. The argument is you have no authority, period. You are a rogue government in thinking that you can tell us what we can and cannot put in our body. You cannot come into our common law jurisdiction and run our lives for us. You have no authority. In fact, you are beneath us. We control you. You do not control us, you piece of shit little prick. Scare tactics, but suggested that it could appeal to rank and file members of, or to committee chairs in Congress. It could appeal to their fellow elitists that are also getting money from the illegal drug trade and from the pharmaceutical. It could appeal to the aristocracy that think they own us. It could appeal to them in ways that could threaten the future of this amendment. I don't think so. However, there has been broad bipartisan support for the Rohrabacher FARA amendment in the past, and support among Americans for medical marijuana is at an all-time high, reaching as much as 94% in one poll. 94%, and we've just talked about this before. They, you know, 90% of the people say that in this that they want their representative government to get the goddamn illegals out of this country. Oh, it can't be done. It can't be done. 94%. This is going against 94% of the people, you little prick. Why don't you try it? Why don't you do it, you little prick? 94%. That's what I'm talking about. If people aren't, they sold that reefer madness to a generation of alcoholics. I'm drunk. I don't need that. That stuff will make you go crazy. As they're, you ever seen a drug that messes you up more than alcohol? Because I haven't. And I'm not going to say people can't drink alcohol. It's their goddamn business. As long as they ain't violating my rights, I don't give a shit what they do. It ain't none of my business. And it ain't none of Jeff Sessions' business for goddamn sure, because he's just a piece of shit little lackey that shouldn't even be there. It should be being on trial right now for the treason he has committed against the people in the Bill of Rights. He should be put up against the goddamn wall once convicted and shot. You dirty little prick. All right. And here, man, let's look at these. I'm probably wrong about Jeff Sessions, because these people, they're really wanting law and law abiding. They're really wanting, they want law. Hey, is what they want. Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, this is Dion, man.
Hey, brother.
You doing?
I'm doing well. And you?
I'm doing quite well. I want to ask you this. What point of this did we become indoctrinated as a whole to understand that we were subjects and they were all overlords? Somebody please explain that to me. Because, you know, as I say, as a little kid, well, not even as a little kid, as a teenager, I forgot what year they came out as, you know, the year when they came out with the insurance, where you must have insurance. And, you know, I wasn't even awake as a teenager when they came that out. And I was like, you know, somebody in government is getting paid for that. And, you know, this what came out of my mouth as a teenager. I'll never forget it. I was like, if they forcing us to buy insurance, I said, how's that freedom?
Well,
it isn't. That is not freedom.
No, it isn't. It isn't, and it was plugged in after the so-called Civil War with the unconstitutional running violation of the people's rights known as the 14th Amendment, where it goes into saying that you are now subjects of the government, and anything that is granted will be privileges. You're responsible for the debts that this corporation makes. It was written without authority to write it, because the 9th article to the People's Bill of Rights forbade it. It was a removal of the Bill of Rights and a replacement with government privileges granted as civil rights. And like we talked about it before, you'll get equal protection under the law, which is no protection under the law. It's equal. There's none, but nobody has any, so I guess it's equal. That's when they plugged it in, and, you know, you talked about the insurance thing there. And hell yes. I mean, they're telling you, they're seizing a part of your property. They're coercing you. They're telling you, my buddy over here, he runs an insurance agency. You poor son of a bitch, you ain't got nothing. You know, it used to be people didn't worry about insurance unless they had something to lose. You know, if you were indigent, I mean, if you were so goddamn poor, you'd say, just go ahead and sue me. And you weren't negligent when in your activities. I mean, an accident's an accident. You know, if an accident happens, an accident happens. If you're not negligent, then go ahead and sue me. Sue me. You can have everything I got, which is nothing. But that's when they started with the insurance thing that you're talking about. They did that here in Oregon. First, they had no-fault insurance, where if you didn't have insurance, well, you couldn't collect, and nobody could collect from you, and because you just couldn't afford it, you were indigent. You couldn't afford. I mean, sue me. And then they went, well, that wasn't doing, because, I mean, what it is telling you, you're going to go do business with this corporation, which is a part of the government, because they are all government agencies when they license with the government. You're going to go do business and sign these contracts. You're going to pay these people money. You talk about taxation. You know, they claimed the right to taxation. All the authority for it was supposed to be within the federal government, which was the limits being that they could never tax the people for their properties or their incomes because, well, they just couldn't take our stuff from us. No way. Oh, they could say, we want to tax. And we say, shove it, buddy. I'm not paying it. How are you going to make me pay it? Well, I'll take you to court. What court? Well, I'll take you to this admiralty court. Can't. I ain't in the military. Well, I'll come into your common law court. You can't. You're not. You can't come in as a litigant because you can't show a personal damage. Bye. And that's the way it was supposed to be.
Hey, Henry.
Yes, sir.
You know what? Yeah, I mean, they're doing it so many ways. You know, I was talking to a friend, and he was saying that how, you know, he is, like, forced to have insurance on his house now. Is built in through his mortgage payment. I was like, wow.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, my son, one of my sons just went to rent an apartment. He went to rent an apartment, and the only way he could rent an apartment, he has to buy
renter's insurance.
Renter's insurance, yep.
Yep.
And see, they set up these little criminal cliques and cabals, just like, and they call it, they'll come out and they'll call it, they'll get it passed as a, you know, it's for renters is what it's for, but then they turn around, and when it gets put in place, what it is to control renters. It's to tell you, they just something like you, well, they all agree on it. I've heard people tell that, you know, like they move out of one place in a town and come back to another place in another town. And they go rent a place, and they might have owed a light bill or a water bill in another town, and it's all on their computers, and you got to pay all of that up, or you can't rent no property because they got goddamn control of it. What they've done here in the state of Oregon is these Californians, the Masons down there, they've come up here and they've set up the Federal Housing Authority, the HUD thing, and what they do is they come up here and buy houses, and they're only ones that can get loans. The people who live here can't get to buy the houses themselves. Only a Californian Mason can come here and buy a house. So they buy a house, and then they say, well, you rent through this HUD thing, and you go in there, and then they get the payments. What you do is you pay for the house for them. They have gotten tons of property. That they own all the property around here now, right through that scam, and it is a scam. This
you know,
is
Henry,
dirty. It is. Go ahead.
I have made up my mind, man. I have said I just made up a new term. I said, man, this thing is so corrupt and so embedded. I just call it Como Fascist United States now.
Well, you're right. And here,
I mean, it's a little bit of everything.
Well, check this article out right here. Rural and small town jails are driving America's high incarceration rate, researchers find. This is from NBC News. It was sent in by Gray Rider for discussion on From the Trenches, worldreport.com. The nation's smallest jails, often overlooked in discussion about America's high incarceration rate, have been quietly driving a historic increase in the number of people behind bars, according to researchers. The local jails, mostly serving rural communities with low crime rates, hold a disproportionate number of people who are waiting for trial and who are being held by outside agencies such as overburdened state prison systems and U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, a newly released report says. That's because these communities generally lack the resources to steer low-level offenders away from pretrial detention, the researchers say, and many expand their jail capacities to win a bigger share of contracts from outside agencies. The researchers from the Vieira Institute of Justice and the Safety and Justice Challenge, which both advocate for jail reform, released a report Tuesday amid aimed at bringing more attention to what's happening in the country's most sparsely populated regions. The growth in rural jail incarceration has fully flown under the radar, said Jacob King Brown, one of the Vieira researchers who helped write the report. Many reforms to change mass incarceration are concentrated in urban areas. We tend to think that punishment and over-incarceration follows crime, and crime tends to be worse in urban areas. But rural areas have a worse jail incarceration problem. This conclusion is based on data from the Bureau of Justice Statistics, whose most detailed information about jail populations runs to 2013. The numbers show a dramatic increase over the last 25 years in the proportion of people being held in jail while awaiting trial. Those still presumed innocent but who cannot afford bail or haven't been assigned it. That increase, fueled by tough on crime policies that grew out of the 1980s drug scares, is now driving efforts to reduce incarceration rates by turning away from the use of money bail and expanding to alternatives to jail. Such reforms have focused on the nation's biggest jails and have led to the leveling or of the reduction of jail population, the research says. But in smaller jails, the trend has continued upward. The researchers at Vieira and Safety and Justice Challenge broke out jail data from 1,936 rural counties, those with fewer than 250,000 people, and found that pretrial incarceration rates had jumped from 49 per 100,000 in 1979 to 265 per 100,000 in 2013. By comparison, the pretrial incarceration rate in urban counties rose 101 per 100,000 to 200 per 100,000, and from 39 per 100,000 to 178 per 100,000 in suburban localities, according to researchers. For rural areas to double or triple the size of its jail is unheard of in urban areas, King Brown said. No one is proposing we build a larger jail in New York, but it's common for a rural county to go from 30 beds to 70 beds. That's part of the growth. At the same time, smaller, cash-strapped counties have taken advantage of the continued appetite for jail cells and other agencies. Many state prisons remain overcrowded. The researchers stressed that while the lack of resources and the search for more revenue were two of the biggest factors, so we're now putting people in jail just strictly, I mean, it's just like the asset forfeiture. We've got to take it from you. I know there's no due process, and we're just taking your goddamn property, and we're going to hold you in jail the same way, because, hell, we need the money. We know you're going to lose your freedom. We know you're going to lose your property. The county needs the money, and this is more important. It's like the aristocrats there in Washington, D.C. But their fortunes are important. You're just a goyim. You're just a piece of property to be moved about to their benefit.
Henry.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, I live in a rural area. The county I live in's probably got maybe 15, max 20,000 people. There's people on I-10 constantly. I mean, big drug busts, and so-and-so's in jail. I can see why the rates are going up as far as needing jail cells and things like that. They're out on the streets busting these people.
But it's for money. The bottom line is they have no authority to bust anybody for drugs. If you take drugs and commit a crime, you committed a crime. It doesn't matter if you took drugs or not. But if you've committed no crime, they can't tell you what you can put in your body. And people who have went along with this have found out that, man, raw milk, now it's raw milk you can't put in your body because, well, it's hurting the milk industry. Because it's what
The reason I brought it up is I can see, in this county alone, twice a week is when the paper comes out, Sheriff Deputy so-and-so and his sniffer dog, Los Lobos, busted on I-10. Mm-hmm. And they sit and they watch that I-10 and they're, it's amazing what they're doing. The article will say, they got permission to, or the guy looked nervous. Of course they've had the dog out already. Well, anyway, the guy got nervous, or so-and-so was nervous. So, we obtained, the ability to search the car. No warrant, no nothing.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's plain. Go ahead, Dion.
Hey, I ask people this all the time. I say, how are we the fierce nation in the world? We have more people locked up per capita than a communist nation that has 1 billion people.
Precisely. Precisely, because it's about whack and hut prisons. It's about, slave labor, dare I say it. Anyways, guys, we've made it to the top of the hour. We will be back tomorrow at 12 Pacific, 3 Eastern for another broadcast, The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT. And until then, remember what really counts in this land of freedom. And that is The Word from the Trenches.